turn to your Bibles to the book of Job. Book of Job. Of course, Job is found right before the book of Psalms. Get your fingers limbered up. We'll be doing some turning in the book of Job. I've called this the Gospel According to Job. Do you ever think of Job as a gospel book? Well, it is. We know that because Jesus said all of the scriptures speak of him, and they do. And Job is a lot in Job about Job's faith and what Job believed in. Now, Job is the first written, inspired book. Do you realize that? Job lived long before Moses. So whoever wrote Job, in fact, someone was probably writing down his words, whoever wrote that, it's the first book written that's inspired by the Spirit of God, long before the books of Moses. Now, Moses wrote Genesis. Genesis takes place before Job, at least the first 11 chapters. But Job was written, Job probably lived about 200 to 300 years after the flood. That's very early. That's before Abraham, or at least contemporary with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Before there was an Israel. There's no Israel yet. That means there's no Moses. Moses is going to be born for several hundred years. The law hasn't been given yet. There's no priesthood. There's no tabernacle. The Davidic dynasty is 1,000 years in the future. This is way before that, just shortly after the flood. Now, if you're in Job chapter 1, you notice verse 5, it says Job, he served as a priest of his family. It says that he would consecrate burnt offering with his children. Whatever they did, Job would offer sacrifices for them. Before there was a priesthood, Job was the priest of their family. There were no Levites yet, so Job was functioning as their priest, going before God to confess their sins and make them right with God. But I want to ask the question, basically, in this book. You know the story of Job pretty well, I'm sure. Why did Satan hate Job so much? It's clear in this book, Satan absolutely despised him. Before we begin, let's answer that question. Let's just take a moment to ask God to bless our time together. Father, once again, as we look into your wonderful word, Lord, enlighten us by your Spirit. Show us wonderful things out of your law. Show us the gold that is hidden in this book. Show us, Lord, your power in working through a person like Job and how you, even before all the things we take for granted, Lord, you work, your Spirit produces salvation, a new life. Help us, Lord, to see in Job's faith, our faith and the need for faith. And again, Lord, elevate your Son because of this study. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, why did Satan hate Job? You remember, you see there in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 6, it says, the days came when the sons of God appeared before the Lord. And most of your versions say Satan appeared, or the adversary. Literally in the Hebrew there, it's the Satan. The adversary. Satan himself is called before God to give an account. Remember, Satan is not a god. He's a created being. And as such, he answers to God. He's under God's authority. And here we see Satan having to go before God and present himself with the rest of the angels. And in verse 7 here, God basically asks him the question, where you been? What are you up to? And he says here, notice verse 7. He says, from roaming about and walking around on the earth. Now what he's doing there is boasting. He's saying, I run things down here. You ever, when you work, I've worked in factories in my life. You ever see how the boss, the foremans walk around, just kind of watch what everybody's doing? They run things. Satan says, I run things down there. I was walking around, traveling around, and he's right. I run things down there, like a foreman over his workers. Satan basically saying, I'm in charge down there. And I was just walking around, watching over all my servants. But then goes off to God does in verse 8. God then boasts against Satan. Here, I believe God's basically poking Satan right in the eye. He says there, have you, literally in the Hebrew, set your heart to examine my servant Job? God's taunting Satan here. So you run things down there, do you? How do you explain Job? God's mocking Satan. You run things down there? You're in charge? Have you seen Job? How do you explain him? You're not as much in charge as you think you are. Basically what God is doing. I love when God does this stuff. You're not running Job, are you? Have you seen Job? Now, as you probably know, in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, God gave them dominion over all his creation. But when they sinned and submitted to the serpent, to Satan, they transferred that dominion to Satan. We know that because the scripture tells us that. Jesus spoke of this several times. In John, three times, he called Satan the prince of this world. He runs things. He runs this society. In Luke 4, when Jesus went out into the wilderness to be tempted, we read this. It's on your sheet. Luke 4, verse 5 and 6. And he, that's Satan, led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory. Note this. For it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. All of the world's splendor, its fame, its fortune, its kingdoms, its pomp, its glory is mine. And I give it to anyone I choose. Doesn't that kind of explain things? Why Hollywood and Washington are full of such degenerates? Satan runs this. Satan is in charge of that. In fact, notice here, Jesus doesn't rebuke him. Say, no, you don't. He does. Satan is in charge. Satan, of course, Satan is under God. God is the ultimate ruler, but Satan runs our wicked, evil society down here. So God is saying to him here, so you're a boss down there, are you? Well, how do you explain Job? Now, you know that whenever anyone in this lost, wicked, doomed, this world is doomed, serves God, it's only because God did something. God's saying, how do you explain him? The only reason there was a Job is because God did something. Or Job would have been as wicked as the world around him. God basically is boasting about what he does. This only happens by God's grace. You only get a man like Job because God's Holy Spirit did a work in his life. We're going to talk about that more as we go on. But you're in chapter 1. Note verse 9. Note Satan's response to this. Job 1 verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Job says, oh yeah. I'm sorry, Satan says, oh yeah, all Job is a prostitute. He only loves you because you're good to him. He only serves you because you protect him and bless him. Take away all that blessing, and you watch how fast he'll curse you right to your face. You know, the world does that. The religious of the world, they'll talk about God, and they're favorable. As soon as things go bad, here's all the time, they're mad at God. How could God do such a thing? Well, Satan says, you take away his things. Take away his health. He'll curse you to your face. And note here, you know the story of Job. Job never does that. All the things that Satan does to Job, we're going to see it here in a second. Job never curses God. Job never turns on God. Job never rejects God. All through the book of Job, he has faith in God. He relies on God. He cries out to God. And God confronts him at the end of the book. In other words, Satan is wrong. At this point, Satan does not understand salvation. He's thinking, okay, God, yeah, it's not that great. You're not that great, God. If you take away all his comforts, he'll curse you to your face. Well, let's see what happens. Note what Satan does. God gives him permission not only to take his stuff, but to hurt his body. As you know, I broke it down there in your sheet. All of Job's wealth in livestock, and Job had massive wealth, according to chapter 1, verse 3. Massive wealth. He had massive herds of camels and the flocks and the herd. He was a very, very rich man. All of that was either stolen or destroyed in one day. Imagine having all of your wealth wiped out in one day. And now you have nothing. And then, on top of that, Job had 7 sons and several daughters. They were all tragically killed on the same day. A sirocco blows in off the desert and collapses the house they're in. The roof comes down and kills all of his children in one day. Imagine, on the same day, you lose all your wealth, everything you own. Now all of your sons and daughters are dead in a tragic, horrible, quote, accident. And of course, you know, God then later allows Satan to attack his body. And we read this. It's in chapter 2, verse 7. Job was struck with, says, sore boils all over his body. I've often tried to picture what that was like. Job describes this several times in the book. I have it on the sheet. In Job 19:17, he says, my breath is offensive to my wife, and I am loathsome to my own brother. I'm offensive now. I'm gross. I'm vile. People come in and go, ugh. Job is sick looking. Job smells. Job 30, verse 27. I am seething within and cannot relax. days of affliction confront me. Job 30:30. My skin turns black on me. My bones burn. Can you imagine? All the sores and the boils. His skin looks like it's rotten. His bones are burning. He's seething inside. Job 30:16-18. Now my soul is poured out within me. Days of affliction have seized me. At night it pierces my bones within me. My gnawing pains take no rest. By a great force my garment is distorted. It binds me. In other words, everything inside hurts and it's gnawing. And even my clothes don't fit right. They're pinching me and hurting me. That's Job. Imagine. Then his own wife says to him, you just curse God and die. Isn't it obvious when Satan killed all of his children, he spared his wife? Well, that's why. She was a godless woman. Curse God and die. Now you can see here Satan's hatred. The moment God says, all right, I'll take my hand. I'll remove that hedge around him. Have at him. Look what Satan does. He comes at Job like with a sledgehammer and destroys everything he has, destroys his health. He would have killed him had God let him, but God didn't let him. Satan hated Job. And you know the reason why. In chapter 1, verse 8, and chapter 2, verse 3, God says of Job, he's an upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. So what do I want to do? Let's make this case even deeper. Why did Satan hate Job? To understand that, you take a look at Job's character. What kind of man was Job? To get this right, turn to your Bibles and then Job chapter 29. Job chapter 20. After Job is very sick, his three so-called friends show up and start grilling him for a while. Towards the end of that long conversation of back and forth, Job and his three friends talk. Job starts talking about himself, describing who he was. Job 29, verse 7. Job 29, verse 7, he says this. When I went out to the gate of the city, when I took my seat in the square, meaning Job was a ruling elder. In their days, remember, the elders of the city basically ran the cities. And the city would have a gate. The elders would sit there in the gate. And if you had a question or a financial problem or whatever, you'd come to the elders and they would rule for you. They were like the judges who ruled the city. Notice what he says there in verse 8. The young men saw me and hid themselves. I think that means those young men are always shooting off their mouth. They didn't do it around me. He says, the older men arose and stood. The princes stopped talking and put their hands on their mouths. The voice of the nobles was hushed. When people saw me, they quieted down. Even the judges and the officials and the princes respected me, he said. For when the ear heard, it called me blessed. When the eye saw, it gave witness. Job was well respected and regarded. He was actually a prized possession. People loved him. And even the princes and the other judges looked up to him. But read on. Verse 12. Why? Because I delivered the poor who cried for help and the orphan who had no helper. I was there for the helpless. Verse 13. The blessing of the one ready to perish came upon me, and I made the widow's heart sing for joy. This is hundreds of years before God will say through the law, you must protect widows and orphans. Job was doing that. I made sure the widows and the orphans were protected. Look at verse 14. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe, like a turban. Read on. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. Now get that. Not only did I protect them, I helped them. I helped blind people cross the street. I helped the lame man walk. I actually helped them. I was there physically. I wasn't just for them. I actually helped them. I had a heart for the poor and the outcast and the blind and the lame. Verse 18, or 16, I'm sorry. I was a father to the needy. And I investigated the case, which I did not know. I don't know these people, but I went to bat for them. I fought for them. Verse 17. I broke the jaws of the wicked and snatched their prey from his teeth. I was a fighter for justice. When someone was being oppressed by the wicked, I stopped it. Go to verse chapter 30 of Job. Job 30, verse 25. Job 30, 25. Have I not wept for the one whose life is hard, Was not my soul grieved for the needy? Think about that. Did you ever do that? Job actually cared that much for those who had a hard life. He wept over them. He cared that much for the needy. He said, my soul was grieved when I saw poverty, when I saw people getting kicked out of their house, when I saw widows and orphans with nothing. He said, I wept over them. Job truly cared for these people. Look at Job 31. Something, guys, we all need to take seriously. Job 31, verse 1. Job says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? Don't think almost 3,000 years ago there weren't pretty young girls walking around, half naked like you do today. But Job says, I made a covenant with my eyes. When I'd see a girl, I'd look away. I would not let myself gaze at a young girl. That's great advice. That's how you do it, guys. You know we live in a very immoral world. I every year I hate when spring comes along because all the girls dress half naked. But you've got to just look away. Look away. Job says, I've made a covenant. I will not. I will control my eyes. I will not do that. Job 31, look at verse 5. He says, if I've walked with falsehood, if my foot has hastened there after deceit, let him, meaning God, weigh me with accurate scales and let God know. Look at verse 7. Am I seeing this right? Verse 7. If my step has turned from the way, notice this phrase, or my heart has followed my eyes. You know, John, 1 John speaks of the lust of the eyes. If I followed my heart, my foolish heart, Job says, if I went after everything that delights the eyes, like so many do, whatever feels good, do it. Job said, if I've ever done that, then may God strike me. If I've followed my heart, if I've given in to fleshly desires, if I haven't controlled myself, let God punish me, he says. Look at verse 9. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's doorway, may my wife grind for another and let others kneel down over her. That would be a lustful crime. I'm faithful to my wife. That woman was hard to be faithful to, I would think. I'm faithful to my wife, Job says. Look at verse 13. If I had despised the claim of my male and female slaves when they filed a complaint against me, what then could I do when God arises, when he calls me to account? What will I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make him? And the same one fashioned in the womb. Job had slaves, everyone did. But Job says, I'm no better than they are. The same God who made me made them, and when they raise a complaint, I listen to them. I'm not cruel to them. I realize we are equals. Even though, remember back in the old days, you could sell yourself into slavery to pay a debt. But Job says, I don't mistreat these people. I realize God made them too. And I don't look down on them or mistreat them. I'm not better than they are. Verse 16. If I've kept the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail. Verse 17. Or have eaten my morsel alone, and the orphan has not shared it. But from my youth, notice, he grew up with me as with a father, and from infancy I guided her. This isn't theoretical with Job. He says, I shared my food with widows and orphans. And he mentions there a he, and he mentions there a she. I raised two orphan children, a he and a she. I raised them, I fed them, I clothed them. For Job, this isn't just theoretical. Well, I care for the poor. I raised some orphans myself, a he and a she, he says there. Verse 19. If I've seen anyone perish for lack of clothing, that the needy had no covering, if his loins have not thanked me, if he has not been worn with the fleece of my sheep, I gave my clothes to those who had none. And on verse 21, if I have lifted up my hand against the orphan, because I saw I had support. And it goes on. Look at Job 31. A few more of these. Job is a righteous man who loves the poor, who cares for the needy, who more than just cares, he does something about it. Job 31, verse 24. 31, 24. If I've put my confidence in gold and called fine gold my trust, if I have gloated because of my wealth was great, and Job's a very rich man, if I ever thought I was better than somebody because of my money, Job says, let me be punished. Verse 26. If I have looked at the sun when it became, when it shone, or the moon going in splendor, my heart became enticed, and my hand threw a kiss. If I ever worshipped anything but the true God, may I be cursed. Job says, I've never denied my God by worshipping any false idol, ever. And you know, back in Job's day, false gods were everywhere. Verse 29. Have I rejoiced at the extinction of my enemy, or exulted when evil befell him? No. I've not allowed my mouth to sin by asking for his life in a curse. Job did not have a murderous heart. He put down evil. He opposed evil. But he wasn't murderous and cruel and hateful in his heart towards these people. 31. Had the men of my tent not said, who can find one who has not been satisfied with his meat? The alien is not lodged outside, for I have opened my doors to the traveler. Job is saying, you try to find someone who hasn't eaten at my table. I've been generous. I've been kind. I've fed everyone who needed it. Everyone shared my food. And one more, verse 33. Have I covered my transgressions like Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom because I feared the great multitude and the contempt of families testified me? Did I ever try to hide my sin? Job said, I admit my sin. I didn't do what Adam did. I admit my sin. I know I'm a sinner. This is why God built a hedge around him. Because Job was a godly man who had a heart after the Lord's own heart. He loved the poor and the weak, the blind and the lame. He cared for them. He did something about it. He was honest. He was just. He put God first. He didn't trust in his money. He controlled his eyes. He controlled his emotions. He didn't follow his heart. He followed righteousness. You could say Job's living the life of a Christian. He doesn't know who Christ is yet, but he's living the life of a Christian. Psalm 5:12 says, for it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. God saw the righteous character of Job, and God protected him. God blessed him. Why shouldn't he? Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Satan complained, you build a hedge around him. God does that for the righteous. God does that for those who serve him, those who put him first. And Job did. And God blessed him greatly because of it. And that's why Satan hated him. Satan hates people like this. This is rare in the world. This is rare in the church. Satan hates people like this. Because whenever you see someone like Job, you know that's a true work of the Spirit of God. Remember Noah. Why was Noah more righteous than his generation? Because Noah found favor. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Job, God put his grace upon Job. The Holy Spirit regenerated Job. He's a testimony of God's saving grace. This is way before the law. But yet God's Spirit worked in Job. Job was a righteous, God-fearing, godly, kind man. Let's look at Job's faith. Turn back to Job 9. Job had a strong, strong faith. Now, he's tested to the max in the book of Job. And he does complain against God a few times. He never doubts God. He just kind of demands that God speak to him. And God does, but not in the way he wanted him to. But Job 9, Job had a high view of God, a high view of God's sovereignty, of God's immutability. Job had a high view of God. His friends do too, pretty much. But Job really does. Job 9, verse 1. Then Job answered, in truth, I know this is so. How can a man be in the right before God? Who could possibly think before God you could be right? If one wished to dispute with him, he could not answer him once in a thousand times. Wise in heart, speaking of God, and mighty in strength, who has defied him without harm? I love that. No one ever defies God and gets away with it. No one, Job says. It is God who removes the mountains, they know not how. When he overturns them in his anger, who shakes the earth out of its place and its pillars tremble. Remember, this is only about 200 years after the flood. Who commands the sun not to shine, sets a seal upon the stars, who alone stretches out the heavens, tramples down the waves of the sea. Notice this. Who makes the Bear, Orion, and the Pleiades, who makes the stars and the chambers of the south, who does great things, unfathomable and wondrous works without number. Were he to pass by me, I would not see him. Were he to move past me, I would not perceive him. Were he to snatch away, who can resist him? Who can say to him, what are you doing? Notice, moving on, you're in chapter 9, Job's desire for a mediator. Job knows this great God, this great, sovereign, powerful, awesome God, whom no one can argue with, no one can question, no one can call him into account, he knows he needs a mediator. Job 9, verse 32. Got down to verse 32. Job says, speaking of God, "For he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, that we may go to court together. There is no umpire between us who will lay his hand on us both." That word umpire, excuse me, is the word mediator. Job says, "I need a go-between." When I worked for the railroad, we were heavily unionized. I don't brag about that. I complain about that. We were heavily unionized. And often they'd have these contract disputes. They'd call them what they called an arbitrator, a mediator. And his job was to speak to the company, speak to the men, and bring them together. That's this word here. Job says, "I need someone who can put his hand on God's shoulder, put his hand on my shoulder and make peace. I need a mediator. I need a go-between, an umpire between us." Moving on. You didn't turn back to Job, but in Job 1, Job had strong faith in God's promise. Remember in Job 1, verse 20, he says, right after all these things happened to him, he lost all his wealth, he lost all of his family. In Job 1, 20, 22, he says, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, fell to the ground and worshipped. He said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" Who has faith like that? That's a strong faith. God gave me everything, and I praise him for it. Now he's taken everything, and I still praise him for it, because I know who God is. That's a strong faith. In fact, the scriptures add, in all this, Job did not sin or blame God. In Job 2:10, after he's smitten with these boils, he says this, speaking to his wife, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? God gave me so much good. Now he's brought me into adversity. Shall I not also accept that?" That's a strong faith. That's a rare faith. Too often, you and I, as you know, we're tempted to complain against God, just to complain, "This isn't fair, it isn't right, why me?" If God is sovereign, if God is good, then whatever circumstance he brings you into, there's a reason for it. Turn to Job 23. We're talking here again of Job's amazing view of God. This is an amazing verse. When you think about God, his awesomeness, his power, his greatness. Job says, 23 verse 8, "Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. Backward, but I can't perceive him. When he acts on the left, I can't behold him. He turns on the right, I cannot see him. If God were right here, you can't see him. He's invisible." Jesus said that. He's invisible. He's everywhere. He's powerful. He's absolutely sovereign, but I can't see him. I can't perceive even what he's doing, but notice what he says next. "But he knows the way I take. I don't know him, but man, he knows me. He has tried me, and I shall come forth as gold." I don't know what God is doing. I don't know where God is. I can't tell what he's up to, but I know he knows me. And I know that these trials, he said, are going to try me like gold. They're going to burn dross out of me like gold. That's a great faith. Just take comfort in the fact that God knows me. God knows what he's doing. I don't know what he's doing. You often want to ask, and the Psalms often do, "Why, Lord? How long, O Lord?" I don't know why or how long. But I know God is sovereign. I know he knows. But let's get to the important part here. I've called this the gospel according to Job. Job knew he was forgiven. He rejoiced in God's rich mercy. And Job rejoiced in the hope of eternal life. So you prove that, Rick. Here we go. Look at Job 16. Job 16. Job 16, verse 19. Job says, "Even now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my advocate is on high." Job feels like he's being mistreated. "I don't deserve this. I didn't do anything wrong." He didn't. He said, "But I know," the word there, witness, is the word for lawyer. "I know that my lawyer, the one who speaks for me, The one who's going to defend me, I know he's in heaven. His three friends are grilling him. Job, you must have sinned. Job, it's your fault. Job, you brought this on yourself. You're a fool to say otherwise. He says, no, I know that my lawyer, the one who defends me, my advocate, that's the Old Testament word for the New Testament word for the Holy Spirit, my advocate, my helper is in heaven. My defender is in heaven. Go back a few chapters to Job 14. Two more verses, two more passages will be done. Job 14, 14. 14, verse 14. Again, Job speaking. Job 14, 14. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my struggle, I will wait notice until my change comes. You will call, and I will answer you. You will long for the work of your hands. For now, you number my steps. You do not observe my sin. Notice this. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and you wrap up my iniquity. You have covered my sin. You have gathered my sin. You've taken it away. But notice he says there, I'm going to die, but you're not going to forget me. You will long, he says there. You will call for me. You will long for the work of your hands, and I will rise again. And you have taken my iniquity and sealed it up in a bag, wrapped up my iniquity. You've covered me. Now turn to Job 19 again, last time. Job 19, verse 23. And here's where you see Job's faith. This is, again, this is why Satan hated him so. Job 19, verse 23. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that with an iron stylus and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. Just stop there. You're reading it, the answer to Job's prayer. Oh, that the things I'm saying could be written down that other people could read what I'm going through. Well, you're doing that right now. Read on. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. Just stop and say that again. I'm going through all this terrible pain and suffering and loss, but I tell you, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer is alive. Notice what he says about him. At the last, he will take his stand on the earth. Someone's coming. That's the whole message of the Old Testament. My Redeemer is coming. At the very end, he's going to stand on this earth. And notice what he says. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. My Redeemer, I know who he is. And I know he's coming. And at the end, he says, he's going to stand on this earth, and so am I. And in my body, Job says, I'm going to see my Redeemer face to face. That's a strong faith. Whom I myself shall behold, whom I my eyes will see, not another knows. My heart faints when I think of this. My heart faints within me. Job had a strong faith. Even all this suffering and horror, I know I have a Redeemer. And I know he is coming to this earth. And I know that I'm going to stand before him one day resurrected. That's a powerful faith. So then if you think about this, Job had the same faith every Christian has, doesn't he? He believes the same thing we do. He believes God himself is our Redeemer. I know my Redeemer lives. I know he's in heaven. He's going to stay on earth one day. God knows that he himself, God has removed our sins, Job says. I know that. Job knows that God is sovereign, the same faith we have, because we know he loves us. We know that our trials and our hardships, even though they may be terrible times, are for a good purpose. And you know the verse, let me show you, Romans 8:28. We know, just like Job knew, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We know that. Job says, I know my Redeemer lives. I know he's sovereign. I know, even though I don't know why he's doing it or what he's doing, I know he's going to make this all work out for my good because I trust him. And he knew, like we do, that our Redeemer God will himself raise us from the dead. That is the Christian hope. This is 2,000 years before Christ. But Job says, I know. I know he's coming. I know who he is. He's my Redeemer. And he will call for me, and I will rise. Again, just ask this question. How is it possible for someone, this is a good century or two before there even was an Israel, before there was the law given, before Christ came, how is it possible he could have such a deep faith? Well, the same way you do. That's right. Someone said it. God. God's Spirit. Job got saved the same way you do. by the Spirit of God moving in his heart, opening up his heart, understanding truth. The Holy Spirit, when you're saved, indwells you. Job knew these things. He knew God. He trusted God, just like Jesus did. His character. Job was a better Christian than probably most of us are. Because he loved and served the poor like Jesus told us to do. He cared for the weak and the needy. He not only said it in his heart, he did things about it. He was there. He helped the blind cross the street. He helped the poor and the widows. And that's who Job was. He raised orphans at his own table. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us how this happens. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Job had a great, strong, powerful faith. Where did he get that? God gave it to him. So that no one may boast. Now Job's faith looked forward to one who's coming. Now Job didn't have near the information you and I have. In fact, Job was very early in redemptive history. Job didn't know much about Abraham. He didn't know about David. He didn't know about any of that yet. The prophets hadn't started speaking yet, but he knew, my Redeemer is coming. I know he's coming. He looked far ahead to a Redeemer, and that was his saving faith. You and I look back to a Redeemer who's already come. It's the same faith, though. They were saved in the Old Testament the same way we are, by faith in the Redeemer. In his case, it was a Redeemer who's still coming. In our case, it's the Redeemer who's already come. We're post-cross. Just some thoughts in closing. When Satan boasted before the Lord, I run things down there. I'm in charge. God kind of poked him in the eye. Oh, yeah? How do you explain Job? Tell me about Job then. Satan goes, I hate that guy. Job was a trophy of what God can do. He was a demonstration of God's saving grace. And Job, and God bragged on him. Yes, Satan, you're really in charge. Look at that guy. How do you explain him? That's what I do. Job was a trophy of God's saving grace. So ask yourself, what is God's assessment of my faith, of your faith? Am I a trophy of his saving grace? Do I demonstrate to people how great our Savior is? Can they look at my life and see how I live, your life, and the way you live, and the way your priorities and the things you do, and see, boy, that person, God's made a difference in their life? Is my life a demonstration of the power of Jesus Christ to transform a sinner? You should be able to say to your lost friends, they may think you're a weirdo, they may think you're a creep. You're one of them dumb Christians, but they can't deny the fact you live better than they do. You have more confidence, you have more hope, you're more stable than they are. You don't have the fears and the angers and the horrible addictions and all the other things that the lost have. They may hate you for what you believe, but some of them are saying, how can you be so calm? Where do you get your joy? How can you be so stable? Let me tell you about my Savior. Our life is to be a demonstration of what God can do. Ask this question this way. Does your life infuriate Satan? Satan bothered by you? I fear there's many in the churches where Satan isn't all that worried about. They never do anything for the Lord. They don't serve the Lord. They don't speak about him. They don't do anything else than to show up for church. Does my life make Satan mad? Is he going, oh, I hate that guy. I hate that woman. Does God poke him in the eye saying, look what I do. Look what I do. Look what Jesus does for a redeemed person. Not that we want to deal with Satan much, but our life should be a rebuke to him. And third, let me ask you. Do you know Job's Redeemer? Job says, I know my Redeemer lives. I know he's in heaven, and I know he's coming for me. He had no doubt about that. Even in the midst of the worst suffering you and I could probably ever imagine, I know my Redeemer. Did you know that? Do you know for a fact I've got a Redeemer? I've been redeemed. My sins are gone. God sent the Son of God, Christ, to come die for me, and I put my faith in him, and I am redeemed. I have a Redeemer, and he's coming again. Do you know that? I often say to people, how do the lost do it? How do the unsaved live in this world with all of its horror and depression and sadness and rage and emptiness? If you didn't know you had a Redeemer, if you didn't know like Job that I'm going to stand one day before my God and all this is going to be gone, no wonder they drink and do drugs. No wonder the world's suicide so high. Job says, I have a Redeemer and I know him and I know he's for me and I know he's coming for me. Do you know your Savior's alive? We just celebrated Easter. He's alive. Job says, my Redeemer lives, and I will live too because of him. He's coming for you, and he has conquered death. You realize that death doesn't end it. Several of us here have already lost several loved ones over believing in Christ. You know, they're going to be raised again. They're not gone. They're not even dead. They're more alive than we are right now. They will resurrect, and they will stand before their Redeemer. That's the hope that overcomes the world. That's what Job was. That's why God protected him. That's why Satan hated him. May we be like Job. He should be a role model for us. Tell Satan to get over it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how the gospel of Christ is all through your word. That even 4,000 years ago, you were saving sinners. 4,000 years ago, Job is a perfect trophy of your saving grace, of your sovereign love. Lord, we thank you for saving sinners like us. Lord, we know if you did not work first, if you did not come into our lives, if you didn't send your Spirit out to regenerate us, we'd be as lost as the world around us. We'd live in darkness our whole life. We'd follow our hearts straight to hell. But, oh, Father, you are gracious and kind, and you've been saving souls for thousands and thousands of years. You're doing it yet today. Lord, we're here today because of your great saving work in Jesus Christ. Job didn't know him, but he knew he was coming. He knew he was Redeemer. He knew he would stand in the earth one day. Father, we know him because we can look back on history and see what you did. Father, thank you for this. Lord, may the righteousness of Job convict us. May it inspire us, Lord. Make us want to be like him. Help us, Lord, to not be those who look the other way and pretend we don't see. Make us, Lord, those who truly care about the hurting and the weak and the blind and the lame and the hungry and the people without clothing and the homeless, like Job did. You loved him for that. Satan hated him for that. Lord, may we be that person. Truly, that the love of Christ would shine through us to the world around us. But again, Lord, may all of this remind us again how great our Savior is, that he could take a vile sinner and turn him into a person like Job. That's all because of you. All the glory goes to you, and we thank you for it. Lord, help us to take this as an encouragement, to take this, Lord, as our marching orders, and to realize what it is you do. Lord, may our lives truly shine out to the lost world around us. They might see how great it is to be saved by Jesus Christ. So we ask all of this in his name for his glory. Amen.